We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and open our hearts and make them receptive to the words which you have for us this morning, that our faith in our Savior may be strengthened as we grow in grace and knowledge of him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, the cloud. This is an account of the last time the disciples saw our Lord before he ascended into heaven. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In other words, are you going to drive the Romans out? And are we going to be free in our own country again? And there's a truth here. You notice how different the disciples' understanding was from Christ's understanding of his kingdom. It's the difference between the physical and the spiritual, between David and David's greater son. And there's a truth here, how very difficult it is to see the truth when you've been taught wrong as a child. It takes nothing less than a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And we see here the importance of parents teaching their children from Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3 begins with these words. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. What are some of the signs? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Four words now. From such turn away. Perilous times shall come. And these are the days that our lot has been cast to live in. And he said unto them, to try to set the disciples straight a little bit, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And this might cause us a little bit of questioning, because it doesn't seem to be quite right. We're thinking of what we looked at in Luke chapter 21, beginning at 25. Where Jesus says, there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up, and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now he goes to the page of the volume of nature. And he spake unto them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So we're supposed to see these signs, and we're supposed to obey them, react to them, but at the same time he tells us, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So there's a truth here. We should not pry into things which God has not revealed to us. There are some secrets that we're never going to know the answer to. One of them is that beautiful, most comforting doctrine in all Scripture, the doctrine of election. That God has chosen his own people from before the foundation of the world. The very small remnant. And choosing them to be a perfect bride for his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and to live with him forever in his kingdom of glory. And we are members of that very small remnant. And we say, why? Why did God choose me? And God never answers that. We know what the reasons weren't. It wasn't because we were any better than anybody else, because we weren't. But why he chose us, it's none of our business. What we should do is be thankful that he did. Be thankful. The Holy Spirit has revealed many things to us. We call them signs of the times. And we can know by looking at these signs that we're in the last day. But we don't know the particulars. And that's what Jesus is talking about. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So don't predict or try to predict when Christ is going to come again. Some of them have tried. Some of them felt they knew the exact day. They sold everything they had, and those that believed in their lie, they went to the top of the mountain and they waited. But Christ didn't come back. So these things are hidden. Some things are hidden for us, many things are not. But this is why the emphasis is always placed on the day. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And I like Luther's comment. If I knew that the world was going to end tomorrow, he said, today I would go out and plant a tree. So God has given us all things to do. And we do these things right up until the day when Christ comes back. And we don't know for sure when that's going to be. It's going to be quick. We know that. It's going to be soon now. We know that. But we don't know the day. And we shouldn't. So the text continues, but ye shall receive power. Now he's talking to the apostles and those who believe in him. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the part of the earth. So if you want to picture this verse, you take a stone, you've got a lake where the water is perfectly calm, you take this big stone and you throw it out into the water. and it starts making waves, and they go out further and further and further and further. So notice the number four here, which is the number of the world. You guys are going to preach my gospel starting at Jerusalem, then going out into Judea, then go to Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And they did. This was all fulfilled. And we're going to see how it was fulfilled in the book of Acts. Now, if you go back to the days when the Wisconsin Synod was really involved in church growth, you know, got more numbers, got to get more numbers, got to get more money, church growth. And in the very first article of their first magazine to come, T-E-L-L, the Evangelist Lifeline, the first issue, they said this, quote, and they're talking about Jesus saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is the quote, the lead article. In no generation has the Great Commission ever been fulfilled. Really? Well, then the book of Acts is a bunch of lies. The truth of the matter is the Great Commission was fulfilled in the first generation of what we call the New Testament Christian Church. And that makes a big difference on how you're going to spread the gospel, by the way. If it's already gone to all these countries, and many of them have rejected it, it's God's way then to keep it from them. You can spend millions of dollars and build thousands of churches in that country. You're not going to save a soul. It's important stuff. And some of these people that are in power positions in the church simply do not know Scripture. They don't. In no generation has the Great Commission ever been fulfilled. The book of Acts is the book of the Holy Spirit. Okay. For me, the most intriguing part of this text is the cloud. And so this is how it unfolded. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, they're watching him, and they're listening to him. And while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So clouds are very beautiful. And on days when we see great white fluffy clouds, we have permission to look at the clouds and try to single out one, if that perhaps is the one that Jesus is coming back in the midst of. We've got permission to do that. Matthew Henry is a commentator that has a beautiful comment here on what we call the volume of nature. And the comment is this: by the clouds, there is a sort of communication kept up between the upper and lower world. In these clouds, the vapors are sent up from the earth and the dews sent down from heaven. Fitly, therefore, does Jesus ascend in a cloud, who is the mediator between God and man, by whom God's mercies come down upon us, and our prayers come up to him. That's not bad. So this is the last time they saw Jesus, but what happened after the cloud hid him from their sight? What happened? And the cover does not bear here. The book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13, says this: I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. This is the title that Jesus had. He's called the Son of Man. And Daniel looked, and behold, one like the Son of Man came up with the clouds of heaven. You got the clouds again. And came to the Ancient of Days. That's the Heavenly Father. And they brought him near before him. So, this is a picture of Jesus after he ascended from the earth. The disciples couldn't see him anymore. But he went up into heaven and went to his Heavenly Father. As now, Jesus, remember, he's a human being. He's a man. And he's in heaven right now, sitting beside the throne of his Heavenly Father, and governing every single thing that happens. So that's how it's at, that's where it's at right now. So we look upon a term, and you know, a cloud is not an odd thing for us. It's not something unheard of. We know a lot about clouds in the Bible, and especially the cloud. We know a lot about it. And the pillar, and the cloud and the pillar, those verses, there are eight of them, 23 matches in the King James translation. And so we're going to be looking, end the sermon by looking at what the Holy Spirit tells us about a cloud. A cloud, and that's when Jesus has spoken these things, and he beheld a cloud received him. So we're talking about a specific cloud. And there's a specific cloud in the Old Testament that we know a lot about, if only we have eyes that can see. So Exodus 13, beginning at verse 20, and it, that's the cloud. And the cloud, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to these, that's the children of Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And you know the context here, and keep going. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And they made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. This is a scary situation. Exodus chapter 14. Now we're zeroing in on this cloud. It's mysterious. Exodus 14, beginning at 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So there was one cloud. It was a pillar, a cloud pillar, in front of the children of Israel, and it went around beside them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians in the camp of Israel. This is a mysterious cloud. What did it do? And it was a cloud of darkness unto them, the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these, the children of Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. This is kind of a picture of the Word of God, is it not? It's a word of light, the light of the world to us. The heathen people don't begin to understand it. It's darkness to them. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and the left. Notice a repetition here. So these people that claim, well, you know, the Red Sea really wasn't all that deep at that time. There was a big drought. We know that in Egypt. And the drought had taken most of the water away. And the children of Israel were walking through with maybe 6 inches of water. Well, no, they weren't. There was a wall of water on the right hand and a wall of water on the left hand. And that's emphasized. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after him to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen. Now, the cloud is instrumental in everything that's carried out here. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud. The cloud is right there all the time. And troubled the host of the Egyptians. And it took off their chariot wheels. The wheels started coming off from the chariots. And they drove them heavily. And now they don't have wheels. They got to try and run the thing without wheels. It's not an easy thing. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. So, okay. Now, we go to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, 14, verse 14. There's that cloud again. That cloud keeps coming up over and over and over again, especially during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the great and terrible wilderness. And the cloud was always there. So Numbers 14, 14, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud, standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. So during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, which was dangerous, the great and terrible wilderness, the wild animals out there, it was dangerous. They followed the cloud by day and by night. Nehemiah 9, verse 19, the pillar of the cloud comes up again in Nehemiah. 9, verse 19, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light, and the way wherein they should go, so they could travel by day and by night. The pillar of the cloud showed them by daytime, and turns into a fire, pillar of fire at night, so they could see where to go. This is a tremendous thing. What a blessing they had. Who was in that cloud? This is one of the appearances of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And he was guiding them. Numbers chapter 9, backing up a little bit in Numbers, beginning at verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. And God was dwelling between the cherubims in the tabernacle, remember that, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire. That's the pillar of the cloud now turned into a pillar of fire until the morning. So it was always. It happened over and over and over and over and over again for 40 years. And when the cloud, so it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that, the children of Israel journeyed. They followed the cloud. And in the place where the cloud abode, where it stopped, the children of Israel pitched their tents. They're following Jesus. Whoever should be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And that's what they were doing. And so at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched their tent. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. Now try to picture this. Imagine if we were part of this, and a tent is not a house. A house is permanent. A tent is not. And you pitch your tent, and that's not easy to do. And then you live there for a while, and then all of a sudden you have to take the tent down and move. And you do this over and over and over and over again. And sometimes it was not very easy to do. Sometimes it was not very comfortable to do. Listen to this. Well, this is the Holy Spirit talking. When the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. They stayed where they were. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And notice this emphasis. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They're taking their direction from the Lord God and Jesus Christ. And so it was. This is amazing. And so it was when the cloud abode from evening unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. So they were only there for the night. Sometimes just for the night. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Sometimes the cloud started moving in the middle of the night. They had to get up. Don't sleep through this. Get up. Follow the pillar of fire. And it was very inconvenient. Imagine having little children. Oh, you got to get them up. Oh, Mom, we're tired. Oh, we got to go right now. We got to go. We watched the cloud. But they did this. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. Sometimes the thing sat there for at least a year, a whole year. Other times it was only a matter of a few hours. But you followed it. You followed it. You don't plot your own course if you're a child of God. You follow His guidance. That's part of the qualifications of discipleship. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus wherever He leads. And sometimes, I know my father made a remark one time. We were driving along the highway and he saw somebody with a U-Haul trailer. And my dad made the remark, he said, you know, every time I see somebody in a U-Haul, I wonder if they're moving because they want to or because they have to. And it can go both ways. Well, here it's following God's will. Sometimes he will lead us where we don't want to go. That happens. When I was a certain age in my life, I wanted to move to California. I had plans. I never got there. I was put up in Duluth, which was a small mission. And I liked working with teenagers, but there weren't any teenagers in the congregation. Not any. So you go where God guides you. That's so it was. And that's so it goes. Now, just a couple more things. In the Psalms, the cloud is mentioned in the Psalms. The cloud pops up all over the place. Psalm 78, verse 14, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. That's emphasized. And then Psalm 105, verse 39, well, you know, sometimes in the great and terrible wilderness, when the sun was beating down from its apex, it was hot. It was dreadfully hot. Psalm 105, verse 39 tells us this. God, he spread a cloud for a covering. This is the same cloud. And fire to give light in the night. So the cloud, in the heat of the day, would spread itself out and give shade to the children of Israel. Have you ever wondered, when it's really, really hot, and say you're walking out in the yard or you're walking down the street or whatever, and the sun is beating down, and here's a big tree up ahead, and it casts a shadow. Have you ever noticed how nice and relieving it is when you get in the shade? And the temperature is a lot lower than it was in that blazing sun a couple steps away. And so it's a story of our own life. We follow the cloud. And this is the same cloud that received Jesus when he ascended into heaven. And it's the same cloud that is going to come back during the final day when he comes back to judge the quick and the dead. The end of the world, which is very, very, very close. We don't know the exact day, but the signs of the time are telling us it's very, very close. So keep your eyes on the clouds.